1216 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge.
I'm really glad that you say that because I can never remember which bridges are which.
Yeah, the big one right above us.
Yeah, no, I've lived here forever and I still.
You could live under this bridge. A lot of people do.
A lot of people do. It's one of those things like I'm just now getting to like, okay, that's Burnside Bridge, that's Fremont Bridge. Like, it was always funny like when I hear traffic reports and they'd say whatever bridge and I just
Couch
like,
Street, Gleason.
You know what I mean? Like, I would just be like, number one, I didn't live in Portland, so I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't drive through it. Now I do all the time. But then it was always like, oh, yeah, no, just take that bridge this way. And I was always like, huh? Like, which one's the steel bridge? I'm like,
it's next to the iron bridge.
I'm like, I don't know. Like,
next to the copper bridge.
I'm really good with those kind of things normally, but for whatever reason, because it never really impacted me, I never cared.
Well, some of them like have the exit name. So it's like, take the exit for the Morrison Bridge.
Ross
take
Island
the
Bridge.
Exit,
yeah.
Ross Island and Hawthorne, St. John's.
But if like, just like, in my head, I never like knew which ones were which.
I'll bet you most people don't realize when you're south of the Moda Center, but still going through downtown. I bet you most people don't realize that double-decker is called the Markham Bridge.
Yeah, no.
Because it's not really...
It doesn't
seem like a bridge. It's just like an overpass. Mm-hmm. It just happens to be, you know, 85 feet in the air above a river.
Just learned that was a bridge right now.
See? Here we go.
I don't know.
We can pack it in, folks. Yeah. Call it a day. We've learned something. We're out of here.
There's the I-5 bridge.
Prime time's next.
There's the 205 bridge. Those are the bridges I know.
Do you know the 205 bridge is called the Glenn Jackson Bridge?
Yes.
Only reason I know that is because there's a sign on the bridge. But if you
exactly.
ask me what the name of the bridge was...
Exactly.
Got nothing for you.
Speaking of bridges, the New York Knicks have bridged their gap to the next head coach of their basketball team. That would be one, Mike Brown.
The guy they wanted all along. It's not the guy they wanted all along.
The only guy to get a second interview.
Yeah.
Which usually if you get a second interview, you got to feel good. Mm-hmm. And if nobody else gets a second interview, you got to feel great.
Sure.
You're right. And let's start there. This can't be where they thought it was going.
No, and there's the Knicks got good again.
They got good.
And James,
good, not great.
James Dolan just put his head between his legs and just went, oh, I love the smell of my own farts. And we went right back to the Knicks just believing that they were something that they're not.
Yeah.
That they could go and just take Jason Kidd away from the New York or from the Dallas Mavericks.
And
that was going to be it.
Yeah, and I'll tangent real quick on that thought. You know, the Lakers have kind of been that way too. The last time they had, you know, a true bona fide head coach was Phil Jackson.
I mean, Vogel won him a title.
Vogel won him a title, but I mean, they had a lot of guys who were good up and coming potentials, but nobody that was like a bona fide guy.
Sure, yeah.
And it feels like the Knicks are kind of in that same realm. And to your point, sometimes the brand is big to us that talk about the brands, but sometimes those that are getting hired, like I heard Dawn Staley being floated around. Like, I think that'd be rad to have Dawn Staley in the NBA. But if you're Dawn Staley, like, I don't think I want that job.
Is that what you want to go do?
Yeah, I don't think the Knicks is that exciting to me when I run my own show.
Well, look, I mean, not only that, you talk about the Knicks in general under James Dolan's leadership, and you hear the horror stories in the front office, in the coaching ranks, the surveillance system they have that like rivals the CIA. Like, we've talked about this. Like, they have facial recognition software. Like, when they throw somebody out of an MSG building, which also includes the Sphere in Las Vegas, as well as a bunch of other places, like, if they 86 you, like, you're banned for life kind of a deal. And if you try to get in there, they will trespass you.
Yeah, there's been, like, a couple people, like, that have been banned recently for life from MLB stadiums for doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the question, you know, that's the question I always see online is, how do they know this? Well, some stadiums have facial recognition, but some don't.
Well, there's a show on one of those like Discovery channels about security, and I think it's the Browns or the Bengals. I can't remember which one it is, but like they show that the security room with all of their cameras, and buddy, they got you in 4K. Everywhere. Everything you were doing is being monitored, and like they have a text line in the building of like, how you go, like if you want to report something, like some kid was smoking weed in the stands on his vape pen and or vaping.
And they kick you out for ratting on him.
No. Like, because there's signs posted everywhere. Yeah, no vaping, anything. And like, there's live cameras everywhere, and even they can go back in time and zoom in basically like real time, and they see this. They show the kid hitting the vape, handing it to his buddy, hitting his vape,
and you two are gone.
They 86, and these kids throw a fit, and they're like, "You didn't see anything." Like, no, we saw everything.
Yeah,
and I'm sitting there going,
"It's actually in your left pocket."
Yeah, like we know where it's, we know where it's at, dog.
And I actually know the brand. I have the same. I mean, I saw the same one at the store.
Yeah, and it was like it was just kind of like, oh, like the sophistication, and we're seeing this was as it pertains to like season tickets and like who's sitting in what seats, so they can track who, like if you're actually selling your tickets on the market, kind of a deal. Like, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff. But as it pertains back to the Knicks, I like Mike Brown. I think he's a good coach.
I'm with you. I think he's a very likable guy.
Yeah, dude,
I think he got a bad rap in Cleveland when all that went down. I liked him there.
Yeah.
You know, he's worked under Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich. Yeah. He's worked in great places.
And he got the Kings back to relevancy before, you know, things went sideways with some stuff. And they were just like, oh, we want him gone because we want our guy, Doug Christie, in here. It's like.
And again and again.
Kings.
And again. And what was the bit?
Yeah, it's just.
Rotation. I couldn't remember. Yeah. He kept saying the same word over and over.
Yeah, it's just.
No, but this doesn't make the Knicks better, I don't think.
It's going to be interesting because here's the thing. I like Tibbs.
I do, too. I thought Tibbs worked great with how that roster was built. We can talk about how he used the bench and limited guys, et cetera. You might not disagree with you might not agree with that.
Every coach has a quirk, and like it's the quirks that you're willing to work with and deal with and all those things. But like this idea that like they're – I hate going down this path because it always gets people worked up.
Work them up, Danny.
There isn't a coaching hire you're going to make – when you already have a good coach, and Tibbs is a good coach.
Great coach.
Like, if you put Spoelstra on that team, do the Knicks win a title? Does it effectively change who they are? No.
No, those players, that team specifically, no. Those players have a pretty solid identity at this point. We've talked about it in the past. That team, like, Joe and I talk about this all the time. That team's identity is hustle. And they make everything a little harder than it should be because they lack some of the cleaner, more higher-end athletic skills, in my opinion.
Not just that. It's like you look at Jalen Brunson and you look at that roster. It's like, is OG Anunoby going to be out there creating for you? No.
No.
So that's not why he's like, could you be mad that Josh Hart isn't taking shots? Yeah, but that's a Josh Hart thing. And there was like, well, Tibbs should get that out of him. Like, well, he had the same issue in Portland. Started in Portland. He started in Portland actually making more threes, and then all of a sudden he got the yips. So he did it for Chauncey, and he did it for Tibbs. Like, there's just some things, like, coaches don't control. And you can talk about Tibbs being rigid in his adjustments and his rotations. Sure, but this whole idea, like, Tibbs doesn't do anything, it makes me want to put my head into a spike. It's just like, you guys have no idea how many different things that coaches are looking at, particularly in high-leverage spots in the playoffs. They're looking at it. They know their roster. And you know how they know their roster? Because they're showing you who they trust and why they do or don't trust somebody. Because there's so many times in the playoffs, you're screaming for this guy to get out there. They have this one performance, and they're like, yeah, but he did that in that one performance. Well, yeah, the other four times you tried it, it was disastrous for those 4 minutes, and you had to pivot immediately.
Yeah,
so it's like,
I could argue that team needs heavy coaching. There's a lot of teams that don't, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. I definitely don't want to take away from Steve Kerr, but I'm going to use him as an example. Mm-hmm. There was a while there where it's kind of just roll the basketball out and manage some egos. Now, that's no easy task in itself, but some teams need that direction, need that coaching, need that play design, and I think the Knicks are one of them. That is where I will say Mike Brown could be a positive. I think he is a good coach. Mm-hmm. I think he can run a great offense. It's just going to be vastly different.
And the other part of this is the core of that team is made up of those Villanova guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's McHale, it's Brunson, it's Hart, and then OG is same mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Cat's different.
Bridges. Yeah.
You know, I mean, like.
Oh, you said that.
Yeah, no, but I mean, Cat's a different
Cat's a different cat.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, Mitchell Robinson is just going to show up and do things. You add Jordan Clarkson, you add Gershon Yabusele, it's like. It's not going to be like a – like none of those guys I look at is like, oh, those are ego management problems. Like there's a bunch of stuff – and Tibbs – those guys rock with Tibbs.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did. Like I think it was a bit of a surprise to some of them to an extent of him being let go. And then the Knicks operated as if they were the big swing and you know what. And they were just going to go tell Dallas, give us your coach.
Well, also I think, you know, it sounds like reports are that Dolan was going to have Tibbs fired no matter what before the playoffs. And then – Tatum tears his Achilles, and all of a sudden you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you have a chance to go to the finals, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, you have your most successful run in a quarter century.
And maybe the players thought the same thing, too. Like, whoa, I kind of like Tibbs now, but if you'd have called me before the playoffs started, I probably would have agreed. And that's why maybe we had some reports of Brunson okay with Tibbs being gone.
Yeah, and it's just, it's the Knicks being the Knicks. They did this without having a plan or, you know, believing in their own hubris. And that's just been, that has been the mark of James Dolan and the Knicks.
We talked about this yesterday. He just, it'll never cease to amaze me, no matter how large the brand is, that people still can't figure out how to run an organization.
They can't get out of their own way.
And there's copycat ideas all over the place. Not everybody has to do what the Thunder do.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
You can do what the Nuggets did or do what the Bucks did. Mm-hmm. Like this, there are different routes to go. It's not all one road leads to gold. Yet they still can't figure it out.
No, it's very Knicksian. And again, Mike Brown being your hire is not the worst case scenario.
No.
Mike Brown is an above average coach.
And I think I
like Mike Brown.
I think you hope that the great things Tibbs brought to this group of guys, the core group, not the new dudes,
that it continues.
That you can use that and then add your flair to it. I don't know if that will happen. That's a huge question mark, probably the biggest question mark. Why, you know, people might question this Mike Brown hire, but I mean, you said it. I don't know who else they were going to get.
Well, the result is totally fine. The process was horrendous. The process and the planning was horrendous.
Happy birthday, James Dolan.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. I've gone down this rant of coaching in the NBA. Bad coaching can hurt you. Great coaching can help you. Most teams in the NBA have good coaches.
Yep. Yeah.
And they have some things that help you. They have some things that you have to work around. But that's the reality. It's the same thing with every player in the league. You know, you talk about, you know, the best players in the league, like they help you in something. Like Nikola Jokic, one of the best players, for my money, the best player on the planet. He's not the best defender in the NBA, so you have to build a roster around him to support that. You go and get Aaron Gordon so that he can be the guy that covers up for his flaws.
And like James Harden, one of the all-time greatest scoring guards of all time, don't want him on my team.
Yeah, it's like
personal preference. Don't want him on my team
because of like certain limitations and factors that go into it.
That doesn't do it for me.
No, and everybody talks about, you know, Phil Jackson and him being this, that, and the other. I'm like, let's also remember he coached the Knicks,
and it didn't end.
And
well.
It didn't go well.
Yeah, it didn't start well.
With MJ and Scotty and Kobe and Shaq. I think a lot of coaches would have done really, really, really well.
I'm ready to do Kobe and Shaq. That sounds great.
So you know, it's like again, that's my whole coaching rant in the NBA, but. Result fine, process very Knicksian.
24 hours later, we'll look back at the process as we've had time to breathe on what's going on in Milwaukee and the future of Damian Lillard. We'll get to that next, but first, the Big O with sports.